proximity to his left name might not be your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for how you have taken care of us and how you brought us where you carried us to. We thank you for this county. We thank you for those that help us. We thank you for those that even allow us to be helped. And we thank you. And we ask you to bless this commission, that we make the best decision for our citizens. This we do ask and we bless you now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Congressman Neil Dunn for being here. We appreciate so much you being here and everything you've done for us.
My pleasure, Tara.
Thank you. And Will, it's good to see you again.
Thank you.
We all know Will.
Good to be back on the scene.
Yeah, good. Just a couple of things of business. If you have not silenced your cell phones, I ask that you silence them at this time. If you wish to speak, if you'll raise your hand, I'll recognize you and then you'll have your turn to speak. If you wish to speak about something that's not on the agenda, then at the end of the agenda is a time where you can come forward and you can speak for 3 minutes. However, we will not be able to vote on anything at that time, but if it needs further things done, then we can agenda that for a later meeting. At this time, number 3, approval of the agenda. And I do have a few changes. I'd like to add 3A. And 3A is the board to consider approval of draft resolution of gratitude to Congressman Neil Dunn. We're going to remove item 17. And we're going to move item 18 to 4B. Are there any other additions, deletions, or changes to the agenda? If not, is there a motion to approve with the changes?
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Moody, second by Commissioner Page. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Okay. Item 3A. The board to consider approval of draft resolution of gratitude to Congressman Neil Dunn. Is there a motion to read the entire resolution?
Motion.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Russell, second by Commissioner Page. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Mr. Bishop?
The resolution of the Board of County Commissioners of Taylor County, Florida, expressing gratitude to Congressman Neil Dunn for his assistance in the award of the Department of Transportation Federal Competitiveness and Employment by Rail Program grant in the amount of $8.67 million to Taylor County, Florida. Whereas the Department of Transportation will award a federal grant of $8.67 million to Taylor County, Florida to rehabilitate 80 miles of critical railway between Foley, Florida and Adel, Georgia, and whereas Congressman Neil Dunn repeatedly urged the Department of Transportation to approve the grant application, which will strengthen the Taylor County economy, and whereas the funding is awarded through the Federal Competitiveness and Employment by Rail Program, and whereas railway improvements will mean improved economic and job opportunities in Taylor County, and whereas the improvements funded by the grant include upgrades to 19 warning devices at grade crossings, building 9 public and private grade crossing services, hardening 16 bridges, and installing 70 cross ties and 80 miles of rail, and whereas the Georgia and Florida Railway uses the line to connect the Georgia Pacific Cellulose Mill near Perry, Florida, to markets throughout the southeastern United States and beyond. And whereas the county applauds the enthusiasm and hard work of Congressman Dunn for repeatedly urging the Department of Transportation to approve the grant application. And now, Therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of Taylor County, Florida, that the Board hereby express their heartfelt gratitude to Congressman Neil Dunn for his leadership and service to the citizens of Taylor County. Passed and adopted in regular session this 22nd day of August, 2017. They ain't passed it yet, but we did.
Motion. I'll give you a motion to pass it.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Russell, a second by Commissioner Dennis. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. And I know you want to come up and say a few things, right?
Very brief.
We'd love for you. I want everybody to see you.
Well, let me start. Try to stand somewhere or I won't be my best friend to everybody. I want to say it's a great honor to be here. It's a great pleasure to celebrate with you this effort. It's a team effort. I know that you know that. This isn't something that sprang forward out of my head. Your staff has been working on this for a long time. We had a great deal of help from the rail short line that actually runs that line for you. So there's a lot of people in the community have to come together to get something like this work. But it's a great example of an infrastructure project that really, really helps economically a community. And it's important to the community. So this is the kind of thing, and we talk about infrastructure, this is one we can really get behind. It's solid. It serves the interest of everybody. It just serves safety. And it serves a lot of jobs here. I hope we can do things like this repeatedly in the future, and I hope that I'll come back down when the rail is working, and you know, we can drive a rail tie or something. It's fine. It's been great working with all of you, and I have nothing but praise for everybody that I've interacted with on this project. So thank you very, very much. It's a special honor to be here. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, I'm really surprised that Dr. Kent never mentioned your name during your campaign.
You just have to jump on Joe. Joe Kent is his doctor, my partner.
I will do that. The next time I see him, which is in about a month.
Give him a hard time.
The only thing, he's not a Gator fan.
Well, there's a reason for that.
Well, he played for the Senate.
He played for FSU.
Again, thank you so much. It just means so much to you for us, what you've done. And come back and see us anytime. And I think at this time it would be appropriate. Let's get a picture for the paper.
I'd love to do that. How would you like to frame
that? If all the commissioners would come down.
We can have one kind of line up
yes.
Right here and there.
Let's go right at the back. Catch this.
You want to do the handshake
thing? Can you see everybody?
We did everything. Can you come out a little bit? There we go.
Jeez.
All right. I see a lot of pictures. All right. Now, if everybody look at me, I'm going to hug y'all's attention and make sure everyone's looking at me at this picture. 3, 2, 1. Take a couple. Make sure everyone's looking. One last one for me.
Bet they will.
Somebody's really going to Google it.
Thank you.
Such a pleasure and honor.
Gracious
and
auspicious
begin.
Oh, I don't know what it is, but
we can't. Well, I
tell
you, might be.
Let me get all that. I've got to come back. I'll bring them to the text.
Keep your arms up.
Yeah.
Yeah. so much, you got it.
Okay, at this time, Ollie has a special guest that he would like to come forward and introduce to us. So if you'll come up, Ollie, the guest.
Hello, I'm getting here. Mr. Brad Hurd from Sinsic Railroad. He's our economic development person in charge of economic development, CSX, and tomorrow. Be glad he can come be with us tomorrow.
Good.
Okay, welcome. Thank you for being
Thank
here.
You. It's a pleasure. My pleasure.
What
did
you say his name was?
Brad
Hurst. Would you like to say anything?
Well, of course.
If you'll come up.
Sure. on behalf of CSX, I would just like to thank Congressman Dunn for what he's done. From a railroad perspective and industrial development perspective, more so economic development in the area. I might be biased because I'm from Florida, but when these things happen, it's a sight to see for the community. So, thanks so much, Mr. Dunn.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Next is four. The board shall receive requests for proposals, RFPs, for disaster debris monitoring services set for this day at 6 p.m. or as soon thereafter as possible.
Okay, I gave you a list before. I guess you said that submitting landfall strategic LLC, Sarasota, disaster strategic and idea groups, in Tallahassee and Thompson, consulting services, and Tallahassee. And these are RFQs, so there won't be any money on them.
That's correct.
So are you going to have a committee?
We're going to have a committee. The committee will be myself, Christy Anderson, and Gary Wambach. And we should have this completed and able to come back by the next board meeting for recommendation.
Any questions from the board?
Now, when you come back, you'll have these right, 1, 2, 3, 4.
That's correct. We'll have them right. We'll look over their proposal and their qualifications and so forth, and for the recommendation.
Yes, sir. This is just having lined up in case.
Yes, sir. These are monitors. We had the monitors on contract last year after the hurricane, but we did not utilize them. We found it probably more cost effective to use our force labor. So a lot of our part-time and seasonal employees from Environmental Services and the Road Department followed series as they picked up trash and certified, which is what a monitor does, certified the loads. And then we got an individual that was at the roll-off site or at the landfill who certified the tickets as they came and saved us a great deal of money. I really need to, and when I come back, I'll report how much it saved, of course, to do that in-house. Of course, all of this is refundable from FEMA, 75%, 12.5% from the state. But still, it was, some of these will probably be, $100 an hour type service that per person that if we don't need them, we won't need them. But it's a service that we'll have available if we're overwhelmed.
Does that kind of help you qualify for the FEMA a little better?
Well, they also will assist us at a price, of course, but assist us with FEMA in getting our reimbursements back and so forth. And again, they're a reimbursable expense.
Let's hope you don't need them.
Well, no. 2027, I think, is the next time we're going to have a hurricane. That's just my projection.
Well,
that's 10 years.
Is it about 2 weeks for the anniversary of
that's right.
I mean.
Yes, ma'am. That's right. And so just getting ready.
My clerk's got a bad knee. If you walk over and get those,
Hey, I'm going to just separate. I'll keep the original. If he gets all the copies, send it to me.
So I'm going to let Marty explain some of that stuff to you that we've got a plan for to try to detour some of this.
One of the things that happened to us was that we lost our nurse, and then Dr. Muhammad retired, and then so we were in between, and they sent a new nurse practitioner, and so they wrote some pretty expensive medications for some inmates, and of course we had some hospital bills come in too, but we met with LaWanda and Mr. Lakey. And we told them we'd come up with a plan on how to fix some of this. Now, we had done that prior, and we made some adjustments. So the June medicine bill was down to $9,000. And the July bill, because they hadn't credited us the medicines that we sent back and things like that, I had that done yesterday, is down to $5,700. So that's the bill for July, is $5,700. So that's quite a difference from the $14,000 it has been being. Okay, so we've taken care of that. I'm meeting with the nurse practitioner in the morning. She does sick call on Wednesday morning. We're going to be meeting with her. We're coming up with a generic formulary that they can use. We sent our nurse over to Suwanee County. They got a really good system in place there. They only give three types of mental health medications there. They give no narcotics there. So we have mirrored their policy on how we're going to treat inmates at our facility. So we'll create a formulary. The other thing we've done is we were having people order a lot of large amount of supplies from the local pharmacy, even though we have a diamond account, they were ordering more than enough medicine to hold over until the diamond medications arrived. So they'd order 20 or 30 tablets when they really only needed to order 3 or 5 or something like that. So we've stopped that. They can only order a 1 or 2 day supply of medications from the local pharmacy to wait on the diamond contract to come. The medications weren't actually getting returned. There was a period of time there that they were just stacking up. Those medications have been returned, and they got a $2,900 credit on the medications the other day. So moving forward, we're also going to monitor the high-risk inmates that we think may have to go out for medical care and things like that, and we'll make the request to the state attorney to have them released on house arrest with monitoring devices instead of keeping them in the jail and then having to pay for their medical care. So those are just some of the things that we're putting in place to try to decrease the cost of the medical care.
have a question. Is this, you know, something that's been going on all along, and you just uncovered this?
Well, I don't know if it's actually been going on all along. Like I said, we lost a nurse, and the nurse before Ms. Gilbranson, she kept track of all the medicines and stuff, and she kind of led the doctor and helped lead the doctor in the right direction. Well, when she left, there was a period of time they had no medical trained person at the jail. And that person did the best they could with it, but they had no idea what the medications were. They had no idea what they were getting. You know, when you prescribe a medication that's $2,240, that should send up a red flag right away. It should have sent up a flag to Diamond that says, wait a minute, this ain't even close to being on your formulary. You need to do something else. But it didn't. So, no, I can't say it was a problem that has been ongoing. I think it was a problem that generated itself from the time that our nurse left and then the physician changed out. And so we were training a new nurse practitioner on inmate medical care because it's a lot different than treating somebody at your clinic. And then also trying to hire a nurse.
And you're not sending a lot of medication home with inmates?
No, 3-day supply. That's what the law says. They get 3 days. And that's what we've started doing, is sending 3 days.
Now, and I think we discussed this at some time back. Inmates that have Medicaid or Medicare, can you not tap into that?
Or Blue Cross or Blue Shield or any type of insurance, as long as they haven't been sentenced, that then, you know, the hospital can bill their insurance if they have to go to the hospital. I'm not 100% sure about the pharmacy, but I've got some information from Wanda that I still have to go through and research. But we'll do everything we can to take the burden off of us.
Okay, and if an inmate comes in and you know they're going to be there and they have medical issues and they don't have Medicaid, for instance, do y'all try to get them signed up for Medicaid or Medicare?
Again, that's a program that I haven't had any involvement in. I think it's a program that we can research and maybe try to get them signed up. So,
I believe what happens with Medicaid, they suspend it when they're incarcerated.
But I think there is a new Medicaid rule that came down. So
the way it works is with the Affordable Care Act, that inmates pending sentencing, actually, you can file their insurance coverage or help them attain coverage. So there may be some untapped resources. So the laws have changed some. Also, there's an exception to the Medicaid law that if an inmate is hospitalized over 24 hours, then they're not considered incarcerated and their insurance can be filed. And it's just a matter of getting all the carriers on board. We did call the hospital to DMH and talk to them about that and gave them an alert that we would be working with them on that.
And the provider. I mean, yeah, the providers, the carriers, the whole, everybody has to be on board and be able to do that. But, you know, the hospital should research that, not just the hospital, but any provider should research through their Social Security number or whatever, whether they have any insurance in the system. I mean, it's just like a credit card machine. They put it in and it tells you, yep, they got insurance, or nope, they don't.
Well, it's easier to bill. It's probably easier to identify them as an inmate and bill the county.
Probably easier, but we still need to follow through that other avenue. And if they've got insurance, let's file their insurance or their Medicaid or whatever it is they do have.
Any other questions from the board?
Yes, ma'am.
Commissioner Moody and then Commissioner Russell.
Marty, is the hospital working with you hand in hand on all this? When you do have any issues with the hospital on that?
Well, we don't have any issues with the hospital as far as taking the inmates out or anything, but the billing part, LaWanda deals with. I don't deal with the billing with the hospital because the bills get sent directly to the county. You know, I mean, I read over the contract and stuff, and as much as the board does for the hospital, it seems like 40% discount off their usual pricing is not a really good deal for the board, but I mean, that's between the board and the hospital.
Commissioner Russell.
In the past, we used to have a contract with one of the drug companies that would sell us the drugs at a reduced price. Are we in that mode, or are we just...
No, sir. The drugs come from Diamond, and the Board of County Commissioners signed a 5-year contract, and it's good until 2022, I think. That contract was just recently signed. Now, there are some escape clauses in it, or out clauses in it. I've asked LaWanda to look at that because we can probably get better pricing from a local pharmacy.
I would like for you to try to do that, me personally. I don't know how the rest of them do. But I think we need to save much. And also, no matter if they send the bills to LaWanda or not, Mrs. Pemberton, excuse me, But you need to take the initiative. I feel like, since he's assigned you to it, they go sit down with a hospital administrator if necessary and talk to him about various charges that we have. You know, you yourself said, for instance, this guy's not much.
Right, that's
and,
right.
And I was thinking that a minute ago. 40% is not much whenever they're going to come ask us for money to operate off of when they need it. Money to buy new equipment.
Well, and you know, we provide services to the hospital as well. We mow their grass, I mean, sometimes once a week with the inmate work crews. I mean, that's about a 4-hour job every time they go out there. So
if you can get it done in 4 hours.
If you can get it done with weeding and stuff. That's what I'm saying. They usually take a 4 or 5 man crew out there, but it still takes a while to do it.
But so, I think that if we tried, that we can reduce our costs. I think that they used to charge us like 40% of the total bill that the building, you know.
Right.
And they may have given us a nurse practitioner or Marty Duncan, because you worked for them then.
Well, back when I worked for them, you guys had a medical director that you paid direct. The medical director then paid people to work at the jail to help take care of the daily business of the inmates. That was when Dr. Williams was practicing, and Dr. Williams had the contract, but you paid him somewhere around $70,000 or $80,000 a year, and he paid some people to go out there and help take care of the inmates. I was saying earlier, sometimes free is not always cheaper. If you can't control your costs and you can't control the environment, just because they give you a service for free doesn't make it the cheapest route to go. And that's one of the things we're trying to do, is research what we can do. We want to eliminate as much of ER visits as we can also. I mean, when you take one to the ER, you know you're looking at a pretty significant bill right then. So we're going to be in talks with some of the clinics and see if they'd be willing to see our inmates instead of having to take them to the ER for some of these ongoing.
What about the health department?
Chronic crisis. We're going to check into the health department as well. The problem with the health department right now is that they don't have any adult providers. They don't have any primary care providers. They have dental and they have some pediatric stuff, but they don't have any of the other. That was one of the problems that we're having at the health department.
What about if an inmate's a veteran?
Well, then we would reach out to the veterans, you know, the VA, or even maybe call the veteran service officer and see if we can't help get benefits through the VA.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like that y'all are really trying to get it under control, and you realize the cost needs to be cut. It looks like that's what you're doing, and I agree with Commissioner Russell that much as the cost can be cut, and I know you're doing that.
Well, it's a learning experience for the nurse practitioner or the doctor that comes. Now, your contract calls for a physician, but we're getting a nurse practitioner. But however, that's up to the board. That's whatever y'all want to do. But you have to acclimate the nurse practitioner to get out of the clinic setting and into the inmate medical care setting. And sometimes that's a hard transition to make.
2 minutes.
So,
Marty, I'm looking at this invoice where we pay the one inmate on it to make 17 trips.
To the ER?
Well, it's Dr. Summer, Dr. Moore, 17 times.
Yeah, we've got one that's got a severe case of, he gets into hypertensive crises and they have to manage his blood pressure. And I don't know if that's the inmate or not. I haven't looked at that, but. Now, the jail nurse and I yesterday, Tuesday, sat down and we looked at everybody that we had on medication in the facility, and we looked at what medication they were taking, and we looked at alternative medications we could suggest to the nurse practitioner that would bring the cost of the medications down. But we've got to control sending them to the ER. That's a huge expense, because when they leave and go to the hospital, they go to the ER. They don't go to the clinic or anything like that. They're going straight to the ER, and that's always a huge expense.
Mm-hmm. I think if you work with the state attorney, instead of taking their case to another, continuing it, to get all this stuff done, we have one in the courtroom on Monday. And that's a shame that person's name's on this list that many times, of going to DMH, TOC, and all those places. And you know probably what I'm talking about.
I probably do. We had an inmate tell the nurse yesterday that we were going to, by God, pay for his surgery. And they didn't pay for it in the federal prison system, so we're not paying for it while he's here. So, just, we are on top of stuff like that.
Are you libeling yourself by not doing it?
No, sir. I mean, what we're asking for, and this is just like the Suwanee County nurses, and their policy over there, no narcotics, generic medications only. They're not written prescriptions to help them sleep at night. They're not written prescriptions like that. It's jail. We're not expecting it to be comfortable. Okay? Just because you can't sleep, if you stay awake eventually, you'll go to sleep. I mean, but a $100 prescription a month to help them go to sleep while they're in jail, you know, that's ridiculous.
Well, I see it trending in the right direction.
Yes, sir.
The numbers you give.
Yes, sir. We're trying to control that for you. I understand the sheriff just assigned this to me on Friday last week. So give me a few weeks.
We just want y'all to know we ain't just burning money. We are watching and trying to be conservative with everything we can.
Thank you for that. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so is there a motion to approve the transfer?
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Gimps. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Motion carries. Consent items 5 through 9.
Motion to approve all consent items.
Second. We have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item 9A. What is 9A?
I think that was the resolution.
Never mind, we changed that. Item 10. The clerk to further discuss county ordinance number 2017-04, golf cart ordinance/Keaton Beach.
That's correct.
Well, maybe
advertise.
Well, to advertise. We'll vote to advertise it.
Right.
Item number 11, the clerk to discuss 2015 county health tax certificates.
Okay, each one of you got a copy of that list. When I sent it to you, we had 30 parcels that was over $5,000 in. And there was four parcels on there that the county already has a tax deed, which was the list of land available for taxes. Since the day that the tax collector certified this list to me, we've had 10 people who had actually come in and paid theirs. So it reduced it to 40. And I had someone that come by my office a while ago, and he had went up and purchased one of those county certificates. So it looks like it would probably be about 39 certificates. But the board has no alternative except to go to advertise the tax deed because they're over $5,000.
And that cost us how much per parcel?
About
$500.
Our mobile well, the tax collector has a fee, and ours is too. So.
In a year or two from now, somebody goes in and takes a taxes work. We get our $500 back in it.
You will, yeah. But in the meantime, I've got Ralph working on to give me a list, and this is some kind that needs to be looking at. We have some parcels of land that's attributed to the county on taxes. And some of them, the taxes is way more, four times what the value of the land is. So I believe the county has the right to declare it surplus property and advertise for bids for sale of that.
Thank you.
Because some of those parcels had homestead on them, and those people had to pay half the homestead. And the actual year that the certificate was issued, the building on it, something happened to it, or they moved it, or trailer, or whatever. So Brad's working on getting a list of all those deeds that's attributed to the county, so you can look at them. Because I've got one or two people that's interested in some of those, and that's the only way you can get it back on tax roll. Right now, it's county owned, and you don't get down off of it.
How many do you think you're going to have?
I think Ralph's got now seven or eight that we've just done the deeds to give it to the county. So I asked him to go back and pull me all the deeds that's went over to the county so that the board can look at those parcels and see if it's something they want to declare surplus and advertise it. Some of the adjoining landowners, if they could actually bid on it.
Mm-hmm.
Good idea.
So yeah. I'll be getting that list from the board and we'll get it on the agenda.
Thank you, Madam Clerk.
We need to do anything with this one, right?
You got a motion and second to advertise for tax.
So you need a motion?
Yes.
I'll make a motion.
I second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item 12, the board to consider approval of bid documents and advertisement to construct the Steinhatchee Boat Ramp Restroom Building as agended by Kenneth Dudley, County Engineer.
And Mr. Dudley can't be here tonight, but if he had any questions, I can convey to him. But the plans are complete, and those are the items of particular interest to Mr. Russell.
Is there a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Praise the Lord.
Motion by Commissioner Russell, second by Commissioner Kent. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye. All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
And I do want to commend Mr. Russell. He's been working hard to keep the cost down on this project. We appreciate that.
And they're much needed. So.
The building that was there, it can't be converted into that.
No.
Okay.
He had to put an elevator. I hate to say that.
Item 13, the board to consider approval of creation of a new part-time 4-H program assistant position as agended by Marcia Durden, Human Resources Director.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Dempse.
Can I ask any further
discussion?
Yes, ma'am. Can I ask a couple of questions?
Sure.
Where's the Martin
chair? This young lady is related to me, and I made the motion. I'm asking Mr. Bishop, is the relation close enough that I need?
Well, it doesn't inert to your financial benefit, does it?
Well, I don't know. No.
She's my wife's second cousin.
Yeah.
I'll make the motion.
Let Frank make the motion.
I'll make the motion.
Well, it's the same if you vote on it or you make the motion.
It's the same. Well, all right, but either way.
But I'd let Mr. Frank make the motion.
Let Frank make the motion. And I'll second the motion.
Is that in your view, is financial benefit and experience business?
Okay, so as it stands then, Commissioner Russell has made the motion and Commissioner Page has seconded it, or you want to keep it with Commissioner Dimps?
Keep it with Mr. Dimps.
That's good. Russell and Dimps. Okay, now you've got questions.
Yeah, I got some questions. Where did the money come from?
The money was approved off budget workshop.
I remember.
Mm-hmm. And I want to thank you for the support of that position. With your help, we're able to extend programming for the Taylor County Extension Office in implementing an after-school program. And I want to share with you the numbers, the impact numbers for this year, and above in the chart is Taylor County's data. And in the bottom is the comparative counties, Suwanee, Madison, and Leon. And I thought that would be helpful in showing you what all 4-H does for our community with one agent implementing, planning, and organizing all of the programs compared to other counties that have multiple assistants and agents.
This position that we've created is only a 29-hour-per-week position.
That is correct.
And when you work 29 hours a week, you don't get a lot of fringe benefits.
That is correct.
Do you get fringe benefits?
Do you get anything?
You get retirement.
You get it all. Yeah. You get everything. Over 28 hours.
No, you do not get health insurance if it's under 30
hours. Is that our policy?
That's the federal government's. That's the ACA policy. Okay. But I believe our policy mirrors that.
You get retirement.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Are there, while we're talking about added positions, I know you got more money somewhere. Are there other places and within our organization we need to add a position? You don't have anybody that's overloaded.
You talking about add positions or take away positions?
Add a position. Let's add a position here.
Right. We added a full-time code enforcement officer. We added the airport manager to be full-time. And in this position, those are the only additions we had in this budget that's being proposed.
Okay, I'll call for a question.
Okay.
Now, this position is not covered in the current budget. It starts October 1st,
so advertisement.
Because it's a budget. Frank, that's the one that the people that down on PD Show was going to fund for 2 years. And y'all switched it around and said you would fund it for the 2 years and asked them to donate the money to put in there to buy supplies and stuff. Remember, but.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have a few questions that I wanted to ask.
Okay.
Is there a job description?
Yes, you should have that in your packet.
And is the position advertised?
It will be advertised as soon as y'all approve the description. Do you have a copy of it with you? I have one right here.
But it's okay, I'm just...
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Here, let me grab it.
And how many after-school kids can we legally accommodate?
It's per ratio.
Uh-huh.
And so you hire employees per ratio. So we're in 1 in 10. 1 adult to 10 youth is how we accommodate with ratios.
So how many after-school kids are we going to have?
Well, we're limiting our after-school program to the first 30 youth that are available because we feel like the facility, and with it being a first-time year, that it's a pilot year. And I'll be able to hire 3 OPS positions, but that's all through the University of Florida. So the after-school program is basically going to spin off of us being able to have a part-time program assistant so I can provide additional services for the after-school program.
Okay, and the children, is $50 a person for the week,
mm-hmm.
and transportation is
provided through the district transportation department, yes.
Okay. And for the after-school program, this is just questions I have to ask.
Okay,
I'm going to support
fine.
The program.
Yeah.
Is there a policy and procedure in place for the program after school, how things are going to be?
Yes, there's a full proposal that went through the University of Florida, and it was approved by the Dean of Extension, and it was ran through the 4-H Youth Development Program
okay,
at the state level.
One more question. Does the county insurance cover the participants just like they would any 4-H participant?
Yes, the building coverage would be through the participants, but the youth enrolled in 4-H, they hold a $1 million liability policy. So the kids are enrolled in the 4-H youth development program, and that covers another additional cost.
Good, great.
Do you have any questions?
That's it.
Since we opened it back up, I got a couple more questions.
Okay.
Can you tell me one benefit that this is doing to seniors?
Well, the program assistant position is going to be able to go down there and do in-school enrichment. And we also have a volunteer that's leading a club down there. She's going to be doing a marine science club at the Steinhatchee after-school program that's offered through the Boys and Girls Club. So with the help of the part-time program assistant, I'll be able to send someone down there to do enrichment programs that are offered in the schools in Taylor County. And we offer them the Tropicana Public Speaking Program. We offer them the National Youth Science Day Program that's offered through the schools. So they're afforded those same opportunities that we provide in Perry.
So when you get this person, how long will it be before you start offering this?
It'll be as soon as I can get them on board in October 1. So when that person, I guess when we have the means to support the salary or the hourly wages, then I'll be able to train them and then send them out. So it'll probably be the middle or end of October.
One more thing. What is the hourly wage of this individual?
It's $11.09. What was it, an hour?
Something like that.
Yeah, I think y'all budgeted for 21,000.
And I'm going to tell you the reason I ask that. If we got anybody who works with the county that's less than $11.09, they all going to want to make that. And I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want you to know that I don't forget very much.
Mm-hmm.
On October the 2nd, I'll expect people to see that.
October the 2nd?
Just say, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. If I could go down there myself.
How about Shady Grove?
In Shady Grove, we do shooting sports in Shady Grove. We've had the shooting sports program down there all summer, where we send our archery equipment down there. So that's a great program.
It's up there.
It's up there.
And why haven't you had that in Steena?
Why haven't they? Because it's a volunteer-led organization. 4-H is a volunteer-led.
Those are the most cooperative people in the world.
Would you provide me a list of people that you think would help me with that program?
Ask Jeannie Mathis.
Okay.
She is a school board member, and she knows
everybody. Yes, I know Jeannie.
And she's a wonderful person. Just ask her.
Yes. Okay.
Okay, is there a motion to approve?
All right, wait a minute. And now we don't want the steam hatchet.
We're going to Jersey. Come on, Matt.
Come on.
Are we going to Jerkins too?
Yeah.
We are. I've already talked to Mr. Demps about doing some programming at Jerkins.
See, everybody asks a question. She's right.
I just want to know.
On the blue edge.
On the record.
On the record. Is there a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. And thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Item 14, the board to consider approval of invitation to bid and reconstruction of the homes of Kimberly Sparks and Dallas Myers through the SHIP program as agenda by the grants director. We need to declare if anybody is related to this.
Not related to the grant.
I'm not related.
I'm not.
Anybody else?
I think Mr. Demps is.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve. Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you. Thank you. Item 15, the board to consider approval of draft resolution urging the Florida legislature to enact legislation that would make texting while driving a primary offense as agenda by Commissioner Page.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. Representative Slosberg from House District 73 in Delray Beach has been working diligently with county commissions and cities in Florida to try to get the legislature to make texting while driving a primary offense rather than a secondary one. And This is a copy of her resolution. It's been passed by numerous counties of Florida. Two or three that I remember seeing on the list were Franklin County, Levy County, Citrus County. I don't think Madison and Jefferson have done it yet. But I thought it would be something that I would be interested in voting for. It seems like that texting and using these handheld devices while driving, but it's illegal to do that. In 46 states, plus Guam and two or three of the other Puerto Rico, and there's only five of those states, including Florida, one of the five where that's not a primary offense. It's my understanding that if I'm texting down the road and the trooper can't pull me over for texting, or can't charge me. But if I make a wrong turn, he can get me for the wrong turn and then add the texting to it. So
you want to make a motion for this?
First, we need a motion to read the resolution by title only.
It doesn't really have a title, and it's too long to read, but it does have some.
Looks like it has a title there.
All right, motion to read by title.
Thanks, Walt, right?
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Resolution urging the Florida legislature to enact legislation that would make texting while driving the primary offense.
Is there a motion?
Motion to approve the resolution.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item number 16, the board to consider approval of a budget transfer from general fund reserves for contingency for medical examiner fees as agenda by Ted Lakey, County Administrator. Is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Meeting. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Okay, we will go down to
19.
Number 19, the county administrator to discuss informational items.
Tonight I have one item. A while back, y'all had tasked me, Malcolm's urging to work with Waste Management, Waste Pro, or any other companies that would be interested in providing, container service to the county. Waste Management cannot make it work, so they dropped out very early in the process. I had one meeting with a gentleman, Waste Pro. Malcolm was part of it. I've been working with him, and just this afternoon, we got some information back about what the costs are going to be. They've been crunching the numbers and everything. And he asked me if I would communicate with board members and see if there is a continued interest in this service. And that's what I'm bringing for tonight. Some preliminary information. Waste Pro would provide every person, every household, whatever container, and that would be just like you see in the other counties, Wakulla County, Leon, whatever, truck number by and picks up the containers. That service would be once a week. Now, the cost would be anywhere from $16 to $18 a month. Now, that cost does not include the tipping fees. We'd have to continue to pay for, we'd have to continue the cost of the waste going to the landfill. So these numbers may not work for us. Right now, I mean, you take $140, each person paid about $14 a month. I guess my math is right. So you see these costs will be a little bit higher, plus we have to pay tipping fees in this.
So what would be the estimated cost then?
Well, we need to crunch numbers. Like I said, I just got off the phone just an hour or so.
How much did you say I would charge a month?
$16 to $18 a month.
Yes, $16 to $18.
If I charge $18, you had $12,144.
Okay, that's better.
And then that's add that to the $18, which makes it 30, and then you got to pay the tipping fee, and whatever that costs us a year divided by.
Yeah, I think it would be.
$30 a month, $360 a year. And I think that the two people running at the present time would not like to go up on the tipping fee.
What's the tipping fee now?
They wouldn't want to go to 360 plus, would you?
Tipping fee is $43 a ton, yeah, or class.
But we don't know how much we're off, see, that's what.
Well, now, we're going to pay that $43 a ton for the garbage, whether the garbage is picked up at the front door or whether it's hauled from the landfill out there, that's going to be paid. So the way I look at it is it's a service that we could offer to the citizens, if they want it, for $16 to $18 a month. Pick your household garbage up, not your limbs now. Your household garbage. The question is it worth that to the citizens? Wouldn't be me, but I'm just one citizen.
Would everybody then in the county be mandated to do this?
Yeah, there's two things. It would be mandatory, and also these costs involve a city period coming in too. If they do not come in, our costs probably.
They already are in now, and they get two times, two pickups per week.
That's right.
And they pay, what, 14?
Yeah.
Now, if they did two pickups, their cost would be anywhere from $20 to $24.
Right. Who would be responsible to collect the fee? Would that be that? Because it would vary.
Yeah. I don't know that yet.
Okay. I've heard in a nightmare in Wakulla County trying to collect the fee. I heard that run. And then that would be back to the court system if they didn't pay, or how would you, you know, they say it's a real devil of a mess. Yeah.
But you obviously want, it works somewhere, but I'll tell you where I am with this. We have an election next year, and this could be put on the ballot and let the people vote if they want this or not, and then go with the will of the people. Because in my district, I've had quite a few people over the last years to say, we want the garbage pickup. And then I've had some people to say, I don't mind taking mine, I don't want the extra fee. So to me, that's why it's just to put it on the ballot next year and let the people decide.
But you got to know exactly what it's going to cost.
Well, by then, we'll know.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. I feel like it would put some county employees out of a job. If we had that. I mean,
a lot of.
So I'm really not in favor of that myself. That it's going to put a lot of county employees out of where they might live.
I'm for the citizens deciding if they want garbage pickup or not. But I don't want county employees. How come county employees would lose their jobs? Help me understand that.
They might come in and hire drivers. Because they'll need drivers, but we would have the roll-off sites to the near amount we do now.
That's what I'm hearing.
We'd have less funding for roll-off sites because roll-off sites, if we went this route, we would take household garbage at the roll-off site.
There wouldn't be no need to take household garbage because everybody's being provided.
Everybody's just being picked up in a can out in the yard, in the front yard, or side yard, whatever. But you're still going to have roll-off sites. To deal with mattresses and refrigerators and yard trash and limbs.
Right. But we might get down to two, possibly three
or
sites.
Or keep them open less hours per week.
Right. Exactly.
That's a possibility all these folks would pick up the job with West Brooklyn.
There's some that would go to West Brooklyn, but they might not be able to pick up their place for us. But then again, a lot of them are part-time people that. You want me to get more information and by your next meeting we'll know if the city's even interested or not and bring it back to you? Or just going to kind of discount it or just how do you want me to proceed?
Are there any other board members interested in letting the voters decide what they want?
I would be in favor of that. If we can get put on the ballot, the proper language, but we have, like Commissioner Russell said, we got to have a firm number, which means I guess if we decide to go there, I would ask you to get some good numbers and get with whomever puts it on the ballot. We've got plenty of time to get it on the ballot between now and next year.
I don't have a problem with that, but I don't want to get spanked. And what I mean by that is you tell us that $50 is what it is, and it turns out to be
$70.
Yeah. I don't want to take that beating. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You could call other county administrator in the surrounding area to have that and see what how it's worked out with the flood population and 10,000 people and that kind of thing, and give us a little better information before we get to make a decision.
Yeah, I sure don't want to, you know, say no, but don't want to say yes either. We need more information, and then we decide if we're going to let the voters decide.
Okay, so your next meeting, we'll have some more information, plus we'll know if the city's even interested. And the city's not interested, I'm sure these numbers will go up.
What happens a lot of times when you start these new programs, mm-hmm. we talk about this all the time, is that they start off at a low rate. And at the end of the first year, they got a big loss, so they double their fees or whatever, and then people actually voted for it, and they say, well, I didn't vote for that. I voted for it. It'd be $16 or $18.
But I would be looking for a contract, not just a contract that would say this is the price for this duration of time. Right. I mean, I would never vote for a contract that in 1 year they could go up. We want to tie it up a little bit more than that.
I don't want my name on me paying about $80 a month.
All right.
Thank you for your efforts and continued efforts. Thank you.
Are you welcome? We'll come back next meeting.
I don't know if you're going to have enough time next meeting. You're going to have to come and contact the city.
They're supposed to be discussing it. I talked to Bob Brown. He said they're going to discuss it tonight. So I might have a little bit. I might have some feedback.
Okay. Next is number 20. Comments and concerns from the public for non-agenda items. And you want to come forward?
At the beginning of, or before the meeting started, I passed out your invitation to the open house at Stephen Springs. It will be September 1st, which is a Friday, the first part of Labor Day weekend, and it's 4 to 7 at the Spring.
That's shrimps and crab. Will refreshments?
We're going to have refreshments. I'm not sure what yet.
I heard Commissioner Duskell was going to grill chicken and have all the trimmings to go with it.
And all the
trimmings. Have you heard that?
I haven't heard that. I've heard.
Have you heard that, Commissioner Duskell?
I believe so.
Good.
Heard it. I heard it. What?
Okay. Bring you up to date on what's going on there. The privacy fence is probably 40% done. I expect to have it done next week. The signage went up today. I made Melody aware of that so she can take pictures for you to look at it and send it to your underwriter. The grass, we spent over $4,000 on sod and it's doing well.
Can you water it?
We've been watering it. And next week it will be cut for the first time because it's put up seed. The birthday party, the first one that used the spring, used it Saturday. And they had over 20 kids plus adults. And it was a whale of a success. They really enjoyed it.
I'm sure glad we didn't go around there Saturday because we were talking about it was at the beach, it was so hot. I said, there's a spring around there, we need to go around there.
And jump in it. The only time I ask them not to use it is when we're actually working. When we get hot, then we use it.
Is the water pretty clear in the spring?
It's much, much clearer than it's ever been. It's still got a ways to go. I don't know how clear it will end up because it's aquifer water. Yeah. But it's, you can see the bottom without going in. If you go in and put your head under the, you can see all the way across the spring pool.
Oh, okay.
So it's as two adults told me today after they looked at it, I'm going in there when it's open. And I said, when we're not working, it's open. So, if you have any other questions, I'll try to answer.
Don't bring the dog, right?
don't bring the dogs. If you bring any drinks or food or containers or what, take them home with you. There will be no trash cans. It's a leave footsteps only park.
Well, by golly, I'm glad you said that.
Oh, I've got
a car. I can't bring no chicken.
They bought me their car.
Yeah,
you can take the trash home with you.
Yeah. And there's no pets available.
Well, thank you. Okay. Just to
we appreciate all your hard work on it.
Yes.
Lots of people have been doing it. If it wasn't for my wife, I wouldn't be this far along. She's put in many, many hours.
We appreciate everybody that has a hand in it. Especially you.
Okay. Thank you.
We probably want to advertise that because there'll probably be more than one commissioner there. Anybody else want to speak? Okay. If not, then we'll go to item 21, board informational items. Mr. Luke.
Glad everybody come. It's been a pleasure to work with the board tonight. I've had several people talk to me about. I started talking about the dump sites lately to several people, and that they don't want, and we talked about the other night, they don't want the city to be part of our dump site. That's what I'm getting, what I'm hearing. After talking to, I've been mentioning what we talked about the city and using our site and all, and most people have just said that they love her to go to West Central.
Yeah. Well, what was the reason?
What the reason was because they think, most of them think they're already using it, you know, and they've got friends that live in the city that use it, and they know that it's being used now for mattresses and ice boxes and loads of lumber and loads of shingles and loads of this and loads of that. And they feel like people need to, when they do stuff like that, they need to. City need their own football site, and that's my perception of the football. And we'll just see how that works out. You know, everybody just keep that in their mind, talk to people about it, maybe try to get some more information and more people talking about it, the better, maybe get out of the way, whatever. That's all I've got.
Mr. Page.
I don't have a lot to bring up. Simply want to thank everybody for coming tonight. Thank the board. It was a very good meeting, I thought. I did take my two bags of garbage to Harrison Blue one morning. I don't remember what morning it was. Yeah, about before we opened. We still got a tall can at the fence. And I was able to pitch my two bags over the fence and hit the big can. Couldn't get very close to the fence because somebody had just dumped 13 tires and wheels, which would be a cost. I guess they brought them in during the night, just piled them up right there. How you stop them, I don't know. But when those tires, do we have tire people come here to pick up tires, or do we haul them also?
No, I think they people sure. come and pick them up, here. Yes.
And it cost us about $120 a ton, I think. I'm not mistaken, it's what it costs the landfill. And if a tire gets mixed in a mixed load and gets to the landfill, it's pulled out by hand and weighed separately, and we can bill for that tire. Mm-hmm. They don't just disappear without a cost to it.
Right.
A skidder tire would cost several $100 to probably to dispose of. Just don't they weigh about a ton, Frank?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Absolutely, it's costly.
You happen to do it, you need a wheel, they weigh a lot more than that.
But yeah. Well, anyway, that's all I have. It's an honor to be here.
Commissioner Russell.
I have a problem with my roll-off site. I'm going to say this one more time. I want my roll-off site to run my kids' roll-off site. I want mine to run my car. And the problem that I have is these people. And an example is an elderly person, I'll just say myself, an elderly person lives At Keaton Beach, they need somebody to trim the trees. You get somebody to trim the trees, you need somebody to haul them off. Mm-hmm. It may be an individual that he hired to do that. But when you get there, my people are turning around and say, no, you're a contractor.
Yeah.
You're a contractor. That's happening in all of mine. And I have that problem, and it seems like that we should have some reasonable way to do that. Now, I have a suggestion. If we set up a site on the south end, a site on the north end, and a site here, except nothing but just waste debris, if the contractors want to come dump their garbage, they're paying $50 a load right now to haul it on other people's land. Mm-hmm. Charge them $100 a load, and then hire somebody to come in and either burn it or chip it and haul it for waste debris. But we got to do something to have every one of these sites. And this is what I hear. Right, Russell, you can't tell me that if I load that on my trailer, I haul it to Harrison Blue, Garlington Cemetery, and I can unload it. And I can't tell them, I don't know if they can unload it or not. And I'd share with you some names, but I don't want to put the name in. But we need to do something before long.
Yeah, can I just say something?
I need help.
You know, what about if I hire somebody and I call and they're going to Bernard Johnson and call. I'm sending so-and-so down there. He is hauling off limbs off of my property. He's not a contractor.
I had a guy that works for me by the hour. He was hauling debris from a trailer park that I paid 9 times 140, whatever it is. And actually I paid 15 times 140 on that road. But we had cut down a tree. I had a favor to have two trees hauled off. And I had cut down a small tree and he was hauling that off. When he got to the roll-off site, the man said, you work for Frank Ross, you're a contractor. You can't do that. But you know whether it's me or not, I got the right to hire someone. There's a difference between a contractor and an employee that's your employee. So he carried it to Harrison Blue. And Harrison Blue took it.
We're going to train it up there. No, I don't interfere with it.
They were going to your district, got over in Johnson Triple Room. And I said, gosh, there's a lot closer there than you. But we need something to be done.
We do. And I agree with you.
And I don't know what it is, and I don't have a solution to it, but we need something to be done.
Well, the people at the roll-off, I mean, it's unfair for them to have to decide if somebody is a contractor or not. A contractor, would they have some sort of license? But they may not have it with them, though, right?
They have a license. They have a
license.
When we get to the card or sticker system, that'll help a little bit. And then when we get our incinerator set up where we can burn all these limbs and stuff, we need to get up a site that all that stuff goes to. You know, they don't just, they get to all the roll offs out there and throw in an ice box and a chest of drawers and a sofa, and then they come throw a bunch of limbs in there on it, and you can't burn the sofa and all that stuff, so it causes them a lot of issues when we have to send it to the landfill up there.
Even if you had a sticker, though, again, if I hired John Doe to come pick up limbs on my property and take them to the roll-off, he's not necessarily going to have a sticker on his truck.
He needs to be a contractor, and he needs to go up there and say, I'm a contractor, here's my contractor license, I got insurance for doing what I'm doing. Hiring somebody to run a chainsaw and cut a tree down in the yard with them not being a contractor and insurance, you're taking a big chance to start with. Yeah, it doesn't matter what done they go to. If you're doing a big job, the real contractors get a dumpster out of plywood to come over here and spot it on the job site, and they dump all the stuff in.
Yeah, but again, you know, sometimes I'm just using this as an example. If my husband cuts the trees down and he hires somebody that works in our yard just to pick those limbs up and take them to the roll-off, or we pay many times $140 a year.
You need to let him use your car once we get
That's
one.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe we call or whatever. Right. Well, we got to figure it out.
I've got a citizen.
I got one more.
Hold on just a second.
My turn?
Well, yeah, if you're going to talk about what he's talking
about. Yeah, I will talk about road lock, and then this is it. This is important to me. What difference does it make? I pay $142. What difference does it make if I'm the driver of the truck that carries the limbs to the roll-off site? Or if it's the guy I pay in $8 an hour to do it? It's still my trash that came out of my yard. It ought to be either one allowed.
That's what I'm
and that's
saying.
That's kind of where I am.
And I guess that's why we're thinking with car, you can give that person car, your car to take
it.
You
can give car or if you have a sticker on the truck.
Yes.
I
honestly don't remember what happened to Marlboro I remember this was quite a few years ago. I want to say y'all passed it, but I've never heard of anything really happen with it. But it's quite a few years ago. I want to say y'all passed a thing where people could get like a permit to pick up people's trash and haul. And I think maybe one or two people did, and it kind of just died off. But I want to say that's on the books.
They never did finish going into business.
They had to be bonded, or we thought they had to be bonded and all of that. I'm not sure if they did there or not.
Well, I thought it was for more like small-scale operations. At least that's what I'm remembering. That y'all passed some kind of like your own little ordinance to allow where if John Doe wanted to go and haul 10 people's trash.
I remember that.
That's
how the garbage. That's how the garbage. He's so much a month, but this is different out from now.
Fletcher, gentleman named Fletcher, I remember he was going to talk about opening up the business to pick up the trash.
They quit him and David, but when they got into all that bonding stuff and everything, they decided that they didn't want to.
Maybe I would misremember that if y'all got further than but so this may not happen, but if that was on the books, maybe you could have some kind of where these contractors could just get a permit from y'all to have where they pay so much and then they can haul trash to yard waste to the or even if it didn't get, maybe use that language as a starting off point to come up with something. I don't remember when exactly that happened. I've been covering y'all for 12 and a half years.
Maybe about 5 years ago.
Yeah, I was just throwing out it as an idea.
Yeah, that's something to consider. I would
really, really, really like to thank you for the work that you've done on City Spring. Nobody knows unless they've been through and watched. As a matter of fact, I'm surprised it looks so good. Sorry. It really looks good, wonderful.
It amazes most people look at it.
And I've always heard that there are certain things that don't run up here. Mr. Lackey, I appreciate you fixing the bathroom, getting the bathrooms. Steam has it so that it'll work.
Thank you.
I'm serious. Now, when are we going to see the vigil? Can we do it tomorrow?
No, it takes a little while to get
them back. When did we get them back? The bid.
It takes 2 weeks to advertise them, at least.
So. I don't know if it'll be the next meeting or the meeting after that. It depends on the timing.
That's soon enough, next week.
I said I don't know if it will be the next meeting or the meeting after
week,
that.
The meeting after next.
Yeah. Can't go too long.
Probably
now.
October 2nd, because that's when all my review, because of the timing.
Right.
We're glad to go to work October 3rd.
Well, in the meantime, we have to carry on with that before we scoop them up.
I'm going to ask you to break a little scoop. I'm going to ask Steve Natchez, Waterville, what Thursday night, if they would consider making a donation of some water for a water park for the kids.
Wow.
And then I'll ask various people to contribute. Then maybe the county can find a bit of money to help do this. We got to get permission to do it on schoolhouse grounds first.
Good deal.
Okay. I'm through now.
Okay, Commissioner
Dix.
I don't know, my mind is bumping.
Wait, I'm going to help you. And yes, look, Look at that smile.
I don't have a problem with hell with that roll up type. It looked like we get that incinerator burning out there. We can carry yard debris down there. That would eliminate the yard debris. You know, I'm pretty sure that if somebody's contracting from CMAX, if he got a big enough truck, he can bring it down there to that incinerator. We can get rid of that now. The white goods like refrigerator and mattress and all of that, that's another story. But we can't eliminate it. If we take one at a time, we can eliminate that.
I have contractors talk to me all the time. Would you please get it where we can haul stuff down? We pay anything, whatever it is. We would want to have a place to burn our limbs. They're taking track over now and digging holes and burying that stuff.
Well, what do we need to do to get it going?
We started working on it. Me and Ted talked about it. We started calling up. There's got to be just a little more permitting done. The way the permit was written up is what I understand. We can't take other people's stuff and charge it for somewhere or another or something.
I think we're okay with it, Mr. Moon. I think it's what we got to get in process is how much we're going to charge them. And it just hit me. Why don't we just send them a bill? You know, we talk about cash or credit cards, and there's problematics with all that.
Then we can set up and just bill them every month.
We can set up and bill them.
We could have a list. The contractor just gonna bring the stuff, and if they wanted to get on the list, they could fill out the paperwork, show they had insurance, and all that kind of stuff. And then we'd get their address, send them a bill. And then if they didn't pay the bill, we just
go
turn them off the list.
Yeah, I mean, if they didn't pay a bill, we turn over a code enforcement officer to try to collect. But, I know there's always gonna be certain that you don't collect.
And if you've got a questionable account, he may be asked up front to put up a deposit of some sort. And then when you get through, you know, it's somebody's going to be here for a year or two and get through, give me the deposit back. Bill. Then no credit cards.
No credit card, no cash. Bills. Operator just is out there giving them receipts to just get there.
Yeah, let's do it.
You've got people out there every day anyway. We could have somebody to sign when the trailer pulls up. He could assess the trailer. Right, do the paperwork on it. Let them know going down the road. But what they're going to do, have somebody that's dependable to look through it and make sure they're not bringing stuff that can't be burned. I mean, that's the key to it. Yeah.
That would be yard debris. It can't be.
It can't be styrofoam on styrofoam stuff to turn the whole load around.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they tell me.
And those that don't want to participate with the city, it's all right with me. You know what I mean? I pay my $250, I pay my tipping fee, and I pay my collection charges. So I'm not getting it free.
Yeah. Well, my thoughts on is, right now we don't have control. So yeah. Until we get control, I don't know we can take on any other responsibilities.
Yeah. That's it.
Is that all?
That's it.
Okay. And one other thing, the people that are paying less than 140 are going to bring just as much as the ones paying 140 or more sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I know that changed a long time ago, but a person that's living in a camper trailer and they buy the same amount of groceries and got the same amount of carton and beer bottles going as one that's paying 140.
Amen.
That's going to be something down the road we've got to look at.
And we've got people that live in RVs that have all the exemption on the RVs, so you know mostly they're living there most of the time.
I can't believe that. Where's that at?
I've heard that. I put it that way.
Because the state of Florida says if it's an RV, that it's a motorized vehicle, and the tag is all you got to have.
You can go either way, I think.
It has to be in a position that's not being quickly removed, like being off the beach. You got
another
home sitting on
the beach. We had a home sitting down at the beach. That was a shelter one time. About 3 or 4 years ago. I don't know if it's still a homestead or not. So, strange things occur on homestead property.
Okay, Hickory Mill. Have we heard anything else back about Hickory Mill?
I have not.
I'm still getting calls, quite a few calls about Hickory Mill, and here we are almost a year later. I don't know what to do. What about if we wrote the governor a letter? Can we write the governor a letter, see if he can help us?
Me and Ted are fixing to go down there this week and look. I'm going to get FWC to open the gate and we're going to ride down there almost to the end where the boat ramp and turn around is. And and take some pictures. And I want, if they just had the gate moved down to where the issue is, that would give people access to Hickory Mound. They could drive down there, there's a place they could park, there's a place they can turn around. The road's not bad going down to the lake. The road in the front of the lake where the issue is, and they're walking all the way down the town. They can't drive down there, they have to walk. So they, I mean, a lot of people can't walk a half a mile, you know, in a mile. So, I mean, I want to go down there and really look at it and try to get a game plan to get them to move the gate down to where the people can pull down there and park it and use the lake.
Whatever it takes, because I'm getting the calls, and the person that called me just Monday, yesterday, I believe, said he was down there over the weekend and went in there and he said, I don't see anything wrong. I don't see anything wrong, we can't be going in there.
Well, they're letting them go in there, but they got to park up there with the gate on Fort Stram and walk in there. If somebody gets hurt down there, they would have to call and get FWC to unlock the gate, even get an ambulance down there. You know, I mean, it's a bad situation the way it is right now. And me and Ted are planning to go look at it and try to, I want FWC to go with us and open the gate and go down there and look at what they can do. I've already heard through the grapevine that they won't do it. But I mean, that can, should, especially before hunting season, people need to be able to get down there to the tree line and park down in the lake where they can catch their dogs. And if somebody got hurt down there hunting, they could go down there and get them for the ambulance or whatever.
Yeah,
you know.
Well,
why don't we do what Commissioner Chief
Go ahead.
Why don't we do what Commissioner Beacon said? Why don't we send the governor a letter?
Let me and Ted look at it this week and get kind of a game plan and see how FWC faces up with it, and then we'll do that.
That's what I was just fixing to say. Go ahead and do it. But if they haven't done anything so far, and I don't really have any high hopes that they're going to do anything, so let's at least go through the process, and then let's send a letter. We can all sign it to the governor, and, you know, the impact it's having on us and our citizens, and see if there's any way he can help us. You know, this needs to be open.
It needs
to be open where people can get in there.
It's costing some of our local businesses money.
Yes, it is.
It is.
And I hear from those people.
I do too.
We should have brought that up to Bill Munford and that group the other day.
He's
coming in October.
He knows. Well,
so he's not what?
He'll be coming in October to do a meeting with y'all.
We need to have something done for October if we can get something done.
Go ahead on with that, and then let's see. You know, we don't want to wait a long time on them either if they need to.
Right. And there's no reason. It wouldn't take a proof. If they would let the county go down and move the gate down where they could keep it locked at the end down there where the damage is, that would be perfect. You know, I mean, I think the county would be glad to move the gate down, you know, to get people access to the lake.
Okay. Did you tell Mr. Lackey about that 15-foot-out area? You're going to show
him. You know what? I'm going to show him what all's down there.
That alligator?
I'm going to show him the alligator, too. Right.
Okay. That's the only thing that I have this time is just that, which is something that needs to be done. I want to thank everybody for being here tonight. It's an honor and a privilege for me to serve. Anybody else got anything? Madam Clerk?
Thank you, Ms. Marshall.
What?
I would like to ask the board, he'll be passed the county attorney, to look into seeing what the board has to do to dissolve the Taylor County Health Facilities Authority. It's an issue every year, audit reports, doing reports. So I talked to the man in Tallahassee that's over that, and he sent me a generic form. One's an ordinance, ours, they were, the resolution was adopted appointing the members when the nursing home was built here, and it had to be in place as long as the bond issue was on the nursing home. Now, Conrad, I know you remember meeting, 15 years ago, the last time that we met?
Yes.
With the health facilities authority, you got people that's on this board that's deceased. And so when I talked to the man in Tallahassee, he said, if you can determine that the bond issue on the nursing home has actually been paid, we can dissolve this. It's a headache because it's determined to be a special district of Taylor County.
and you have all kinds of reports, and there's a fee every year that's imposed on that, like $300 for a special district. So I would like for the board to task the county attorney to look into that and see if we can resolve it. Authority.
Just put it on the agenda for next meeting.
Let's just get him to do it. He heard it.
Do it then.
We just be looking for his comments.
Amen, brother.
So, if you get with me, I got all the stuff that Paul had sent me, and the emails back and forth, trying to get that kind of straightened out.
I'll give you a holler.
Hello.
Have you met in years?
No, it's been 15 years since we were, the boardroom was still over in the courthouse when we met the last time, Conrad.
No, I remember. In a while.
Mr. Bishop, do you have anything?
I'm freezing.
Okay. LaWanda? Yeah. Anybody else?
I do have one more thing. I wish that you pass up some kind of resolution that if you have a cup that you can't come in here with an A on.
Okay, is there a motion to adjourn?
Oh my.
I'm over.
Is there a second?
Right.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
No, I didn't.
What you got? Get some.